Good morning. You are listening to EAA Radio. This is Magneto Mel, and I am joined today with my co-host...
Stuck Mike.
So, fine first little air venture morning here. So, this morning, we are joined by Julie Clark and Peggy Chabrin. Do I say your last name right?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Very good.
with Women in Aviation International. How are you guys doing this morning?
Great.
More than 45 minutes of sleep? You guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Here. So I'll let you go ahead and carry the intelligence of the conversation.
Oh, all right.
Okay. So, Women in Aviation and Women Venture 2009. I've got something in front of me that says that. You want to tell us a little bit about what that is?
Sure. This is the second year. EAA and Women in Aviation International kind of partnered together to create Women Venture. We've added a lot of things from last year's event, and I'm going to use the cheat sheet here so I don't miss something. Starting out at 8 o'clock, and then Friday is Women Venture Day. So kind of like Friday is the big focal day for us for these activities, is the Women in Aviation Celebrity Breakfast, which will be over at the Nature Center at 8 o'clock. And we have several of the air show performers, including Julie Clark, who will be there that morning. Chevron is our sponsor for that event. And I'll let Julie talk later more about the air show part. Then that morning at 10:30, every woman pilot here at Oshkosh, we want them on Aeroshell Square at 10:30. And we've got lavender t-shirts this year.
Okay, we did this last year with pink. Yes.
Yeah. So we didn't want to have the same color, so we're lavender. And they're very nice, actually. Just saw them yesterday. But we want everyone to pick up their shirt ahead of time and to have it on Friday morning for this big picture. We'd want to double the number in the photo this year if we can.
Well, then without the pink, they won't confuse us with the air traffic controllers either.
That's true.
Yeah.
Good point.
And then at 3 o'clock, and I'm going to be quiet here and turn over to Julie, is an all-women air show. And I think, Julie, isn't this the first time at Oshkosh we've had an all-female air show?
Mm-hmm. I've been flying in this air show for 30 years, and we've never had a day of all just women air show pilots. So this will be exciting.
Wow.
Very exciting.
Do you want to tell them maybe who some of the performers are?
Well, it's myself and Patty, and we Debbie Rynn Harvey. Debbie Gary, Melissa Pemberton, Jessica Panzer, Misty Blues, Parachute Team, Jean Susu will be flying with Teresa Stokes, and Connie Bolin is going to be leading out the P-51s. She's a real good friend of mine in the Warbird community, and she's going to be leading out the Mustangs for the Warbird part of it.
Right. And Suzanne Oliver, I think, too, is one.
Skywriter.
Skywriter,
sure.
Yeah. So an all-female parachute team, all-female air show performers, and the lead P-51 Mustang Warbird flyby pilot Friday will be Connie Bolin. And then that evening at this theater in the woods, we have a forum presentation, a panel presentation of a variety of women in the aviation industry, but in aviation, and trying to encourage more of the ladies who are here at the convention this week to think about maybe going home and starting taking flying lessons and getting involved in aviation themselves.
Now, the men are allowed to watch this air show, correct?
Oh, sure. That's good. We want them all to watch. Yeah. Yeah.
We're just show them how it's done.
There you go.
Somehow I sense there is a little bit of that's going to go on Thursday.
No, you know what? Like I tell people,
airplane doesn't
flying
know.
Is flying, and the airplane doesn't know, but it's because I've had so many people say over the years as an airline captain, well, were you trying to prove something? Absolutely not. It's the love of flying. I mean, I still love flying after 40 years and 30,000 hours. I came in yesterday with a gaggle of T-34s in formation from Menominee, and it was just a blast. I love flying. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ladies here, they like to fly because they like to fly just like the guys do. But we just want to encourage more ladies and youngsters, boys and girls, to think about going into aviation, not necessarily as a career, but certainly they could do that as well, but just learning to fly and being active in aviation.
Well, no, get them out of the kitchen.
Yeah. Not that I was ever one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm
not.
I think I know where that is, but that's about it.
I've seen it.
So let me ask you a little bit about that in general. I mean, in my life, I don't have quite as much experience, and you don't look anywhere near capable of being in this for 40 years at this point.
Oh,
you
I'm
look
a retired
fantastic.
Airline captain. You know, until age gives it away right
so
there.
So if it keeps you young like this, then I'm glad where I am.
Hey, just a quick note. Our listeners can see you, actually.
Right.
Because there is a webcam, up there.
Oh,
and so the folks who are subscribers to Oshkosh...
That wasn't a joke.
Oshkosh 3 is right behind me.
Oh.
So the people on Oshkosh 365 who are watching now can absolutely confirm that Mel's telling the truth.
Okay.
Now the pressure's on.
Or they say, all righty then.
All righty then. So you mentioned, of course, getting inspiring, I guess would be a good word, some women to take up the activity, whether professionally or not. How does that, whereas Women in Aviation International, how have you found, I don't want to say recruitment opportunities, but getting it in front of women? I mean, little boys grow up a lot of times knowing, someone in their family flies or they know someone who does, and it's not a mystery that you can do this. But little girls often and older girls aren't even aware aware of the opportunity. So how do you kind of bridge that gap and reach those outlets?
I'll tell you a couple different things, and I want to be sure I mention the EA Young Eagles program, so I'm going to do that first. One of the great things about the EA Young Eagles program is it does encourage EA members to take up boys and girls for these flights. In fact, I can remember some of the early meetings back when the Young Eagles program was just a concept of making sure that in the literature and in things that went out that it showed boys and girls to encourage them. But you're right, it is still a problem, and it's not that people in aviation say, well, girls or women in aviation. The biggest problem, I think, is still with like parents or school teachers or guidance counselors. So what our chapter, we have about 60 chapters around the country, and we encourage the chapters to go into local schools to talk to kids about, you know, what it's like to fly or about aviation careers or working with local Girl Scouts. And we also work with Boy Scouts and Explorers and things like that. But just to kind of reach them when they are young to say, hey, this is something you can do too, and encourage, you know, them to go out to the airport and go for a flight.
I would have loved an aviation badge when I was...
Yeah.
In the Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
They had that when I was
a
Girl Scout.
No. That would be a good start. Yeah.
At air shows, I just can't tell you how many times every air show, every weekend, when they come up and we're autographing at my the Chevron table. And the little girls, they just stare at you and you know that their parents will say, you have just struck a chord with her. She's been mesmerized ever since you landed. And, you know, we hear this. So they come to an air show and they're like, oh, I'm just going to the air show because my family's going to an air show. And then all of a sudden, see that airplane? I say, that's being flown by a girl. But that's what they tell them so they can relate to it. And then they want to come meet me. And the funny thing is, then they get really shy and they put their head down. And they don't, you know, they're afraid to talk to me. But you know that you've planted something. And if I can inspire, I always say to people, one child, one girl or boy, one time, one show, every weekend, I feel good about passing that on.
Yeah. You must get a lot of energy out of being an air show performer for that little moment, which happens over and over again.
Yeah, it's an adrenaline thing. I mean, you're up there pulling G's and doing a lot of things.
No, I mean the little girl thing, the little girl interaction.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because I grew up from an airline father where I went on a trip with him, and that was the first time that I was 8 years old, I thought, I really want to do this. And then unfortunately, I was orphaned at a young age. By the time I was 15, I had lost both my parents in accidental type deaths. And so I didn't really have a guidance. And these kids that can be planted that seed, whether it be outside the family or inside the family, but then have somebody guide them along, it's just the way to go. Yeah. It just takes one little thing to plant that seed, and then they run with it.
What took you from airline to loop-de-loop?
Well, actually, the loop-de-loop actually came before the airline because I was involved in competition flying, and I also flew in the Navy as a civilian instructor and taught aerobatics in T-34s. So that came prior to the airline career. And then people think
from
I just
your
started
dad,
flying.
Your dad flying for the airlines, and then you getting into the aerobatics.
Yeah, and that aerobatics came as almost really part of flight time building when I was flying for the Navy and got involved with that. And then my first year flying for the airlines, I got very involved in competition aerobatics in a little pits. And I never really wanted to be an air show pilot. That was never even the thing. I bought my T-34 up in Alaska sight unseen back in 1976. And it was kind of putting the cart before the horse because it evolved into air show flying. It wasn't like I bought an airplane to be an air show pilot like 99% of the people do. And mine was a restoration project that I did myself, and then flew at a rodeo wedding was my first actual show flying in that airplane. And
flew at a rodeo wedding. Now, there's a big combination of a lot of things that I wouldn't expect to put together.
Well, that's why people say, well, what was your first air show? I said, well, actually, I flew in Coalinga, California at a rodeo wedding.
I know where that
is. I went to. Yeah, if you're from California. Yeah. And I just went as a guest of a friend of mine. And so they knew I'd landed, and the airplane was sitting out there because it was out in this rodeo, and they're all eating mountain oysters, whatever they call that. Man. So anyway, they're asking if I could put on some sort of impromptu air show, which is now something we don't want to talk about today. But anyway, that's what I did. I got the ball rolling.
Okay.
But I have to underline something you said about, you know, your parent. There are a lot of times when a youngster is in a family where there's not an aviation connection. And I know for myself personally, I was between my junior senior year in college. I'd never been to an airport, never been on an airplane. In fact, when I went from California to Tennessee to go to college, I took a Greyhound bus for 3 days and two nights. Anyway, but somebody, I was working in a restaurant, and somebody, an airplane owner, had a little 1946 air coupe, was always taking people for rides and was always encouraging people to go out to the airport. And I finally, all right, I'm going to go out and try this. And I fell in love with it. I mean, but 21 years old, first airplane ride ever, and, you know, been hooked since. So I think it's that first experience, if you can get
them
thinking about it or get them for an airplane ride, it makes a whole difference.
Yeah. You know, my people have asked me, because I flew with my dad on some airline trips, but my actual flying time, my first time ever in a small plane was my first flying lesson.
Oh, really?
I never ever flown in a small plane.
Really?
Yeah. People, I said, yeah, I was so excited that when I was old enough and had the money.
I think
I
that
wasn't,
was
I didn't
mine
have the
too.
Money. I never had, I was orphaned when I, you know, I was lucky to even go to college, and I finally got out of college, and I was 19 years old, and I was in college, and my mom sent, my aunt and uncle sent me that, the money for some, to pick up some Neat. Books, and I went to school at UC Santa Barbara.
Okay.
And I remember I had opened up this envelope, and I had $53 in it, and my aunt and uncle decided, you know, took care of it.
And when was this?
1967.
Yeah, that'll get you some good time.
Well, yeah, and so I remember looking, going, $53. I'd never had $53 in my hand in my whole life. So I jumped on my bike and I rolled across the pedaled across the Goleta Freeway and took my first flying lesson.
Right on.
And I never stopped after that.
Yeah,
that was my first time ever in a small plane, because I remember going, wow, this is little.
Yeah, mine was too. My first flight was my first lesson. Uh-huh. The rest of my experience, nothing like yours. But yeah,
yeah. I've been in DC-3s and F-27s, but never a little plane.
Well, we're going to take a quick break now, so we'll be right back. You are listening to EAA Radio on 1210 AM, 93.1 FM, and on the web at www.airventure.org/radio.